Some of you were in the other presentation, some of you weren't. John and Raul talked predominantly about merchandising and sort of where some of the strategies that they're going forward, some of the changes they've made over the last year or two, and sort of how that's impacted the business, and you know, it's shown up obviously a lot in the numbers and in the environment. You know, in a tough environment, the numbers still, and the strength of sales, and so on. So, I guess I'll open up to questions. I'll start it out. One of the things you mentioned in there, you just talked about, you know, the brands within TV. You know, the brands of, you mentioned TVs versus apparel. How the strength of brands or the relevance of brands in one versus the other. I'm going to let you. You can take a sip. Thanks. So, you talked about that. As you kind of look at the electronics business, I mean, is the brand relevant throughout the entire electronics business as important as it is in TVs? You know, like you kept using TVs, but does it go beyond that? Or?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in the consumer electronics space, you know, we've always done a lot of business, but I think we were missing an opportunity a few years ago because we didn't have all the brands that customers were looking for. And in fact, using TVs as an example with the Win, Play, and Show, if we went back 3 years ago, I would say that TVs were positioned as a play grow, because we didn't have access to the full range. And so in the last year and a half, as we acquired brands like Sharp and Sony and Samsung, or were able to build out and offer their full offering, or be able to have their full offering, it's really taken it from a play grow to a win. But that's true with computers. You know, we launched Dell 18 months ago. That really ended up taking the whole category up, because now we have a broader range. We have HP, you know, we've got Dell, we've got Toshiba, and then we also have some opening price point players, so that we're able to give customers the entire range for them to consider, whether they're an OPP customer or a brand customer. But the brands actually make the OPP sell better also.
How important is Vizio, is the Vizio brand? Is that a
Vizio's
brand?
Vizio's a great brand. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Vizio, from I think it's 5-6 years old, has really come into the marketplace, and they're the unit share leader in the U.S. And it's great quality it's probably a step up beyond opening price point, but literally clearly below the major national brands. But it's something where it's perceived as having great value and quality for our customers.
Another TV question. Most of the retailers that sell big screen TVs have a fully fleshed out set of services to help people get these giant things home and then get them on the wall and get them working. Is something like that necessary for the retail stores to be able to sell these things? I mean, I'd be afraid to get one of these boxes to the register, let alone,
You know, it's something we talk a lot about, but when you go back to the framework that we operate in, you know, it's about, you know, fast, friendly, clean. It's about we are targeting these value seekers that our customers clearly see it as a value that we have the assortment that we have with the price points that we carry, knowing that they're going to have to figure out exactly how to install the thing, because we're taking market share. And so it is something that we continue to pilot different programs to help customers. But what we found recently, because we've had the debate forever as we started to become more credible in the CE space, do we need better trained sales associates to help customers? And sure, we'd always like them to be better, but at a cost, it doesn't really work into our model. And what we found from customer research is there's something that's more important than trained sales associates in a store, and it's a good website. Because customers understand that they can go online and you can compare through product specs. And I think with the program that we've recently rolled out with ratings and reviews, that becomes something that's even more objective, because they all know these are commission-trained sales associates that are in the competitive channel. And I think that, you know, the Internet's changed all of that, where people trust ratings and reviews from people they don't even know to a greater extent than they do, you know, some guy that's in the store that they know is going to get a commission off that television that they would sell.
Yeah, I think even your question on Vizio, as soon as we introduced Vizio online, it sold very, very well, and a big part of it was it got very positive reviews very quickly. And we're excited about that, not just for our sales, but as John mentioned, because it influences the sales online and allows us to complement the self-service model without introducing a lot of cost, because that's what we're not going to do. We're not going to just go out and copy the strategies of some of our competitors.
Any you talk about the progress on home and apparel? And, you know, I know you rule on a starter and some, you know, brands, but, you know, why not more higher quality or even more unique exclusive brands that, you know, obviously Target's had a lot of success with that over a number of years. So, you know, where are we at?
Yeah, I mean, we're very pleased with the progress that we're making. We had leadership changes in both home and apparel over a year ago. I think Linda Hefner joined us in June. Dottie Madison came from Raul's team to us, and then subsequently we moved her to New York to build the product merchandising team there for apparel. So we feel like we've got a good strategy, we've got a good leadership team, and we're building capabilities. We are continuing to look at brands that we can develop and launch that our customers want. We're not that interested in getting into significantly higher price points than where we are today. We know that, you know, the towel business at Mass is done under $10. We're not really interested in going out and acquiring or developing brands beyond that. Same with apparel, that, you know, the lion's share of apparel business at Mass is done below $20. But I think that, and especially with when it comes to apparel, you know, it's brand is the fourth thing that they want. You know, it's style, color, size, and then brand. I think the brand concepts that we do are giving us an organizing principle to more clearly present products in the store. And so with the example of Starter, we know if you go back to the thinking about where the growth is, baby boomers, growing segment, increasingly more active, or at least trying to live a more active lifestyle. So active wear and the active lifestyle all becomes more important. So we want to look for ways that we can stretch that offering and be able to offer brands, be it a Danskin on the female side, a Starter on the male side, and more than the brand, because, I mean, these are good, solid brands, but more than the brand, it's the clarity that it gives us in store, that as we present it, we have one thing going on. It's about the Starter brand, as opposed to trying to assort, you know, multiple brands mixed in with private label, that we can be clear on what we stand for, what does it look like in the store, and give the customer an easy shopping experience. But we'll continue to build brands.
Are you popping up with those numbers yet, those areas yet?
We don't break it out by, what I will tell you is we are taking market share. And so our relative performance to the market is positive over the last 6 months.
Could you walk through which categories you've determined or subcategories need to be the win categories for you, where you have a...
Yeah, I mean, some of the examples would be, you know, as you break out the three things that we're going to stand for from at a higher level is we're going to stand for seasonal, we're going to stand for technology, electronics, and we're going to stand for fresh. Those are the three things that, as we build out this next generation of remodels, new stores, adjacencies, visual presentation, a customer will see those three things, including what you'll see in our next generation of stores, is when you enter a store, you're going to have clean sight lines all the way to the back wall to be able to see the flat panel TVs. So that we signal to customers that we're in that business. At the same time, on either side, you're going to see a fresh presentation, be it produce or fashion that changes all the time. One of the things that happens in apparel is that our traffic actually works against us in apparel. Now, listen to the rest of this. The reason why that is, we have our customers in the store 46 times a year. Our inventory turns are on par with the industry. If you took between Target, which would be higher, Penney's and Kohl's, which are lower, you put them all together, that's about how our inventories turn in apparel. But our customers in the store 46 times a year, so they're seeing the same stuff like 9 times. In our competitors, because they don't have the frequency that we do, they're seeing new activity every time they're in the store. So as part of this freshness, we're going to drive hard to, and over time, really improve the supply chain, but initially just set the expectation that entry point that customers see when they come into the store, we're going to change it out every 30 days because we want customers to see newness and freshness. So that's kind of at a high level. It's fresh, it's seasonal, and it's electronics, it's technology. Once you drill down and get into specific departments, baby is a win category. You know, pets is a win category. Flat panel TVs is a win category. And so then you'll even have departments where you might have within apparel, which is probably, you know, a play-sustain category, we're going to win in basics. So there's a whole framework that we use at sort of from the overall to the department level into the category and subcategory, looking at every individual business and then determining what the role is in the portfolio. For apparel. Not the last. It's number four.
It's
out of like 20 things. Right.
So, but as you put in OP, LEI, Starter, what is the average price point of those of that brand versus what
you're listing? Yeah, those examples are ones that actually, if you look at the way we think of good, better, best within the context of the mass channel, they would be better price points. But now with something like Starter, we're going to take the opening price points in some of the basic categories and shorts and t-shirts and make sure that we incorporate that into the overall offering if that's the only statement that we're going to put in a store. So making sure that we don't walk away. It's not a trade-up strategy. It's really a value strategy. And LEI and OP are examples of products that are higher priced than what the opening price point assortment has been, but because of the product itself, the way we put it in store, the assortment range, we've been able to get actually incredible response from customers. Our inventories are, our inventory turns in apparel are similar to the marketplace. I don't think we break that out, no. So, I mean, again, take Target, Kohl's, and Penny's, put them all together, and that's about where we turn. Yeah.
Hi. A question on a slightly different angle, but I was wondering if you could talk a bit how you view the competitive threat from Tesco's Fresh and Easy stores that they've been having over here, and what your ambitions are in this space.
How we view the threat?
Yeah.
We were there when they launched. We have people in those stores every day, every week. We're watching what they're doing. They're a very good competitor. There's some things that I think they do very well in their stores, and we continue to monitor the progress that they make.
And your ambitions in this space?
Pardon me?
And your ambitions in this space?
Any ambitions?
Yeah.
We have a small format group that we are going to develop some new concepts to pilot some new ideas, both in terms of learning for things that we could do in the broader Supercenter box, but also to understand, because convenience is clearly a trend in the future. You know, with the population aging, stores probably getting smaller, we're looking at how do we build more efficient stores and how do we develop a broader portfolio of formats beyond, the 195,000 foot Supercenter. So it's things we continue to look at.
Could I just follow up on that with two trends? The store you did in, I guess it was Waco, the high-end store. Is that
Plano.
Something? Plano.
Yeah.
And then the other one was the organic trend, which seemed to get a lot of press maybe a year ago and just doesn't seem to hurt as much.
Yeah. I think two offshoots to that is, the Plano store, what we did there is we changed the adjacencies and the sight lines and the navigation and made some fine-tuning adjustments primarily around food where we distorted the wine assortment. Prior to that time in Dallas, if you went into any one of our stores to assess the range of wines that we carried, you'd be hard-pressed to find a bottle over $12. And so when we went in and knowing the competitive set that's in that market and the customer that lives there, we offered the full range. We expanded the wine assortment dramatically and actually got great results. But I think the three takeaways that we got from that store, because at the same time, on the other side of the box where it was general merchandise, we didn't do a lot differently with the product assortment. What we learned was customers like the open space. They like us taking features out of Actionalley because it's easier to navigate the store. They liked the sight lines, and they liked the navigation elements that we put in there so that they could find their way around the store. We've incorporated those learnings into our future remodels and new stores. And actually, in October, we're going to be able to talk about the next 3 years because, as I said earlier, this is like the third year of the three-year strategy. And there's not a lot new in there. It's more how do we take what we've learned and really roll it out much further. On the organic side, what we learned from that is where the real trend is locally grown. And so we've evolved from just organics to now we've got a program where we are sourcing locally and then being able to communicate that to customers. And you'll see a big program into, you know, the spring of next year, when we're able to really impact spring, summer is when you can really impact the locally grown strategy.
I think you're supposed to say world domination when someone asks you what your ambitions are.
I'm not allowed to say any of that.
This has been asked before, forgive me, but on this whole SKU rationalization program, which has been so effective, are there categories or areas where you think you might be missing sales? And talk more about in-stock in the wake of this whole program.
Not yet that we've seen categories that we feel like we missed sales because we took things out. You know, it's ranged from departments that took SKUs down 10% to SKUs departments that took SKUs down 40 and 50%. It's interesting. The more SKUs we took out, the more business went up. There was a study by, I think, William Blair 2 years ago. They track Walmart and Target and our assortments and the quality of our assortments and so forth. And about 2 years ago, they came out and said that customers saw Target as having better variety, more variety than Walmart. And we know they don't have more SKUs. And so I think that was a good call to action for us. Why did they get credit for more variety? And it's because they more clearly present the range that they carry. And so we've really gone back, and that goes back into these win categories. One of the things that we do in a win category or a play grow category is really go deep on benchmarking our competition to understand where do they start and where do they stop in terms of range of assortment. And so in the rapidly growing categories, we may add SKUs, but we're going to take them away from the categories that are declining where it's important for us to have it. But, you know, or as an example, we should never feature products from a show category. We used to all the time. And yet those are categories that are declining. That's not what we should be using our feature space for. So it just gives us a framework to be more efficient, but I think even beyond that, to be more relevant to customers. Because, and I would tell you that to me is if when I'm asked, you know, just characterize what is merchandising transformation. And it's really from moving from an organization that was very focused on optimizing what we know, because it would always go back to we need to work on our in-stocks. And in-stocks are important at retail. I mean, it's the foundation by which you build off of. But where we're going is we want to get better at anticipating where customers are going and taking market share in growth categories. Because I think that will unleash a whole level of growth that we haven't seen in the past. Yeah.
You talked about your shifting focus between remodels to new stores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what we learned is, you know, as we developed this new positioning about save money, live better, and built this the brand identification that is part of all that, and started to set it up in a few stores, we got incredible feedback from customers because the color palette, the navigation, the presentation, it's cheerful, it's easy. There was an emotional connection that customers gave us credit for that they weren't seeing before in the previous stores that we had built and developed. And so we felt that it was very important that from a brand perspective that we actually get the entire fleet up to that standard quickly, which required us to invest less in new stores, which you're seeing right now, and invest more in remodels. And so we have a very aggressive 3 to 4 year remodel program, which is to get our existing fleet up to the standard of, you know, how we need to present the brand and how do we create this better customer experience that we know our customers are responding to. Don't understand the question.
In terms of the consumer electronics area, the apparel
area. Yeah. Yeah, I think that electronics is a good blueprint for us, and that's what we talked about last October at the meeting, was that this is one where we've been working on it for about 3 years, I think, when flat panels first started to come in and with video games growing as rapidly as they were. And these were product categories that required different presentation and different strategies to be able to play than, you know, just a box on an end cap at a price point. And so it forced us to think differently about customer experience, about assortment range, about visual presentation. And I think we've had the best results of any general merchandise category in Walmart. And I think we talked about that last last October. That becomes the blueprint that we're following for home and apparel and some of the other general merchandise categories, to where, you know, it starts with product, defining the range, and then building a better experience in stores, and then investing in visual presentation where it matters to customers.
And there's not an easy answer. I think even last week, Greg, we looked at several proposals, and there were some things that we decided we'd wait and we'd make them part of the remodels because, as John mentioned, we want to get all of the stores up to a certain standard. And then there are other areas where, you know, the pace of innovation may be such in that department that you do have to do things, as you were alluding to, in a department-specific fashion. But there is a big desire to get the entire store up to a level, given the way customers have reacted to the investments we've made in the customer experience.
Do one more, and then I think.
What percentage of the stores would you say reflect how you want the stores to be seen by your consumers, and how far how far are you through the 3 to 4 year process of remodeling your stores?
You know, at this point, we've got multiple pilots that have validated some of the ideas that we have around customer experience. Everything starting back with Plano, where we radically changed the way we handled features and sight lines and inventory, up to the store in North Little Rock that we opened this spring. We've got a store in, you know, we've got a couple of stores locally that we're remodeling in Fayetteville, and the original store, one in Rogers, that opened next month, couple that one in Dallas, one in Houston. And I think in the next 2 months, we actually already feel like we have a good sense of what the next 3 years look like, but we just want to validate that over the next 90 days. And in October, we're actually going to be communicating what that next 3 to 4 years looks like. I can't really give you an answer in terms of what percentage today. I think we've got a good roadmap, but what I can tell you is 3 years from now, it will be significantly different. We will significantly impact what our stores look and feel like to better engage customers and to get us to, you know, this idea of better customer experience, visually more exciting, with great products positioned against growth categories.
And do you think you have to touch 100% of the store base then?
Will we have to take 100% of the store base? No. I mean, some of it, again, we'll have different levels, because we have a number of stores that we've built just in the last couple of years that aren't that far off. They just might need different colors and navigation. So no, I don't think it's 100%. But really, the new approach will start next year, where that becomes, you know, what was the new store rollout that started 7, 8, 9 years ago. We will have a path where everything, whether it's a new store or remodel, has the same principles in terms of how we lay out the store and what the customer experience is. All right?
Yep. Great.
Thanks. Thank you.